अहम् प्रयास्यासुहेद परदेवतया लीलकतस्तव नृसिंह विनीच गीता अञ्जस्तिरामि अनुगृह्णन् गुणा विप्रामुक्तो दुर्गनीते पदयोगलाहंस Matajis. Sha. That. I. Prahlad Maharaj. Priyasya. Of the dearmost. Sahidaya. Well-wisher. Paradevataya. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lila Kata, narrations of the pastimes. Tava, your Nrisingha, O my Lord Nrisingadev. Virincha Gita, given by Lord Brahma, by the disciplic succession. Anja, easily. Titarami, I shall cross. Anugrinan, constantly describing. Guna, by the moods of material nature. Vipramukta, specifically being uncontaminated. Dorogani, all miserable conditions of life. Of you, Pada Yoga Alaya, fully absorbed in meditation on the lotus feet, Hamsa Sangha, having the association of the Hamsas or liberated persons who have no connection with material activities. Translation of Prabhupada's Divine Grace, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O my Lord Nrisingadev, by engaging in your transcendental loving service in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, Hamsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three moods of material nature, and be able to chant the glories of your Lordship, who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories, following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nescience. Please repeat. O my Lord Nrisingadev, by engaging in your transcendental loving service, in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, Hamsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three moods of material nature, and be able to chant the glories of your Lordship, who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories, following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nescience. Translation, a purport by Srila Prabhupada. A devotee's life and duty are very well explained herein. As soon as a devotee can chant the holy name and glories of the Supreme Lord, he certainly comes to the liberated position. Attachment for glorifying the Lord by hearing and chanting the holy name and activities of the Lord, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23, certainly brings one to the position where material contamination is absent. One should chant the bona fide songs received from the disciplic succession. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the chanting is powerful when one follow in the disciplic succession. Evam parampara praptam evam rajasyayo vidu. Bhagavad Gita 4.2. Manufacturing many ways of chanting will never be effective. However, chanting the songs or narrations left by the previous acharyas, Mahajano Yena Gata Sa Patanta, is extremely effective, and this process is very easy. Therefore, in this verse, Prahlad Maharaj used the word anja, easily. Accepting the thoughts of exalted authorities through disciplic succession is certainly much easier than the method of mental speculation, by which one tried to invent some means to understand the absolute truth. The best process is to accept the instructions of previous acharyas and follow them. Then God-realization and self-realization become extremely easy. By following this easy method, one is liberated from the contamination of material moods of nature, and thus one can certainly cross the ocean of nescience, in which there are many miserable conditions. By following in the footsteps of great acharyas, one associates with the Hamsas or Paramahamsas, those who are completely freed from material contamination. Indeed, by following the instructions of the acharyas, One is always free from all material contamination, and thus one's life becomes successful. For one reaches the goal of life. The material world is miserable, regardless of one's standards of life. Of this, there is no doubt. Attempts to mitigate the miseries of material existence by material methods will never be successful. One must take to Krishna consciousness to become really happy. Otherwise, happiness is impossible. One might say that becoming advanced in spiritual life also involves tapasya, voluntary acceptance of some inconvenience. However, such inconvenience is not as dangerous as material attempt to mitigate all miseries. Soham priyasya sahidat paradevataya lila katastava nasinga virincha gita anjastirame anugrinan guna vipramukto guna durganite padayogala hamsa sangaha. O my Lord Nrisingadev, by engaging in your transcendental loving service in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, hamsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three moods of material nature and be able to chant the glories of your lordship who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nescience. Hare Krishna. So, this is a very nice verse. It is very helpful for us. It clears away our doubts in engaging in devotional service. It shows us the path as to how to engage in devotional service. And we simply have to have some faith in the words of these authorities. Specifically, right now we're hearing from this great Mahajan, Prahlad Maharaj. We have to have some faith. So, to have faith in these words of Prahlad Maharaj, materialistic people, they generally use two ways in which they condemn the faith that we have to put in the one is that they says this story is mythological. It is just a story. It is not real. It's just something is being fabricated. Sometimes in our neophyte stage, when we hear that these stories are being fabricated, it's just some myth. We are a little broken-hearted because we don't know what to say to these people. We don't have evidence that we are not clear about the authority of this presentation. But if we are not clear about what we are hearing that is coming from the authority, and it is something true, it is not a myth, then how it is we are to accept what this person is saying, that this is a myth? If this person is saying that this is a story, this is a myth, it means we have to ask that person, and what is your authority to prove that this is a myth, this is a story? Where is your authority? So, he doesn't have an authority. because his authority is simply he is riding on the chariot of the mind. Manaharata, this chariot of the mind. He's conceiving. Because the material world is a place for rebelliousness. So rather than accepting on the chariot of the mind, he preferred to rebel. And in order to rebel, he says, then it is just a story. So, if I'm to accept what you're saying is just a story, what is your authority? Can you prove this? Have you been there in that time? Have you been throughout all time to prove that this was a story, it was fabricated, it never did exist? No, you have not been there. So, therefore, you're not enough as an authority. So, what is my circumstance then in order to accept this presentation? My circumstance is that I am following very nicely Prahlad Maharaj making this verse. One of the Prabhupada says that this is one of the keys of this verse, that is Virincha Gita. We are following a disciplic succession from Lord Brahma. Virincha Gita. This is our authority. Lord Brahma is still existing, and from Lord Brahma there is a disciplic succession. There is a succession of guru and disciple. So the guru is one who has become a perfect disciple. And the perfect disciple becomes the guru. So, what is the qualification of these persons? The perfect disciple that becomes the guru? The qualification is that he is free from the propensity to cheat others. Is that he is accepting that which has come down from the authority. He is accepting the words of the authority. And he's presenting the words of the authority as it is. So, the example is being given that, like, this is mango season. So sometimes mangoes, they sometimes become so fully ripe on the tree that even a straw, a little breeze can cause them to drop from the tree. So if we happen to get close enough to that mango just before that breeze, and we happen to pick that ripe mango, we will find that that mango has all the qualifications of a very sweet mango. It looks good, very nice and yellow. It smells good. It is not rock hard. It has some tenderness in it. So, if we happen to bring that mango down nicely from the tree, that is, we're passing it down from one hand to the other until it comes to the bottommost position, then we'll find that this mango is unblemished. It is as it is. So, the disciplic succession is like that. It is bringing down this truth, unblemished. So, that process by which we can receive the truth that is unblemished, then without reservation, we have to strive to come to that position by which we can have implicit faith in that process. No doubt. We may not understand, but nevertheless, there is no doubt. Materialistic civilization means that if I cannot see, feel, touch, or hear by this process of seeing, Hearing is through this process of seeing, feeling, and touching. Without some practical application with the object of the sense, if I cannot have this practical application with this object, and if when interacting with this object it is not clearly understandable by me, then I must doubt that process. Because we rely on the imperfect senses. This is the disqualification of conditioned life. Imperfect senses. Whereas the qualification of the bona fide acharyas, they are free from this imperfect senses. Why are they free from this imperfect senses? Because of constant engagement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, then the senses, they become purified. The senses are considered, Srila Prabhupada Swarasati explained that the senses, they are considered to be like a serpent. Very poisonous serpent. But then if you remove the fangs of this serpent, then although in reality this serpent is supposed to be a poisonous serpent, but because the fangs is removed, then the serpent, there's no need to fear him anymore. Because he's no longer poisonous. He doesn't have the instruments by which he can impart poison into you. So the senses, when they are engaged in the service of the Lord, this poisonous effect is being removed. So we'll get to that point later. So this is the disqualification. When we see these qualifications in the bona fide acharyas, in the bona fide devotees, then without a doubt we should follow that process of Krishna consciousness. So generally, we have come to Krishna consciousness after following some type of environments. Environment, either family environment, friends environment, some other religious environment. So we follow all these different kinds of environment, and we have impart these, some of these concepts of these environments have become part of us. And now we come to Krishna consciousness. They have become so embedded in us, not only in our physical existence, but also they have created deep impressions in our mind. So it becomes very natural for us to act in this way because we have grown up in this process. Days, weeks, years, and months. And not only, but lifetime. Because it's materialistic civilization. So this impression is there within the heart, in the mind. So now we come to Krishna consciousness. We hear that we have to follow this disciplic succession. But we still have these impressions within our heart. We still like to do things based on what we conceive, based on these past impressions, that is nice. Or we like to do things that we feel some kind of a gratification from. Because somebody or people or groups may tend to have some adoration for what we're doing. So we tend to, because we are enamored by these gratifications, then we feel based upon the crowd, based upon the majority, we feel that what we're doing is right. And therefore, sometimes we tend to become a little distracted in Krishna consciousness and want to put little things into the process because it feels good. People like it. Other people like it. It may not be what the authorities are saying or doing, but there are other people that like it. And therefore, this part, the under sampadaya, the part of being blind, we're still much affected by it, this blindness. So we want to follow this path. So we have to be very careful in the process of Krishna consciousness not to follow this blind path. So how are we going to assert what we should do? Then we have to be able to understand in the process of Krishna consciousness that loving service, this transcendental loving service to Krishna, this is the best path for every living entity. This gives the greatest satisfaction in the heart of every living entity. Every living entity is pursuing this path either directly or indirectly. Directly he understands, and misdirectly in ignorance he is misguided and taking a rope for a snake or a snake for a rope. He's misguided. So this transcendental loving service to Krishna has different gradations. Some of us, we are attracted to serve Krishna in transcendental loving service in the mood of neutrality, santaras. Some of us, dasya ras, as a servant, fraternal, sakya ras, as a friend, parental, fraternal, as a parent, and some of us, madhurya ras, is conjugal relationship with Krishna. So we all, each living entity, is a unique individual that is meant for the to give pleasure to Krishna. Dvaya, this non-dual nature of Krishna, is as such that although Krishna creates, Krishna has his energies, we are one of those energies, the tatastha shakti, marginal potency, we are one of those energies that is meant to give pleasure to Krishna. But Krishna, on the other hand, he is Atmarama. He is completely satisfied within himself. This is his unique position of Krishna. That although he creates these, he has these different energies, which as one is a living entity, which is meant to serve him, to give pleasure to him, nevertheless, he is completely satisfied in himself. But the living entity, unlike the position of the marginal energies and the other different other energies of the Lord, the living entity, he has this minute independence. This minute independence, this is Krishna's uniqueness. In that all his energies, material energies and spiritual energies, they work in complete subordination to Krishna, simply to give pleasure to Krishna. But this non-dual nature of Krishna, this Krishna being completely independent, he also has this energy which is the tatastha shakti, which can act either to completely serve Krishna or to reject Krishna. This is the uniqueness of Krishna. Nevertheless, Krishna remains sarvakarna karnam, completely in control of everything. Although the living entity has this facility that he can act against Krishna, Krishna nonetheless remains in complete control. That means, in order for the living entity to act independent to Krishna, Krishna has to facilitate that. This is Krishna's unique position. So, when Krishna facilitates the living entity's position to act independent of Krishna, then it creates forgetfulness. This is Prahlad Maharaj explained, that I am not afraid of you, my dear Lord. So why is he not afraid of Lord Narsingadev? He's not afraid of Lord Narsingadev because Lord Narsingadev is not personification of remembrance of him. This is the position of the Lord, of the Lord form. This is when we come before the Lord in the morning, the curtains open, then it is easy for us to remember the Lord. At that time, although there may be so many contamination in the heart, it is not so effective. Now we can say, "Oh my Lord, please give me your shelter. Please engage me in devotional service. Please protect me." But then when we are away, we are by ourselves, material desires can easily infiltrate our heart. I want this, I want that for me, my. So the Lord is that personification by which we can constantly remember Him. And material nature facilitates this forgetfulness of the Lord. But nonetheless, this material world is a manifestation of the material nature, but it is actually meant for the pleasure of the Lord. It is not actually meant for the forgetfulness of the living entity. This is secondary. It is actually meant the miseries that the living entity undergo due to his forgetfulness of Krishna, this is secondary. The primary purpose is meant for remembering Krishna. So, because of this forgetfulness of Krishna, that is where this whole miserable condition becomes manifest. But in remembrance of Krishna, this miserable condition becomes absent. And this Prahlad Maharaj is explaining. By being in the association of those pure devotees, those hamsas. So, those pure devotees means that those devotees who are 100% fully absorbed in remembrance of you. And they are engaged in remembrance of you. How? Their remembrance of you in rendering loving service unto you. This loving service that they render unto you is not by force. Love cannot be done by force. It is they have again this desire to serve you have become again reawakened. And now they simply want to please you. They just want to render loving service unto you to please you. They have no other separate interest. They are not doubtful about this process of pleasing you, give all pleasure and all satisfaction to me. This is the goal of their life. So, this remembrance, this rendering of loving service to the Lord is the goal of our life. But because not only did the material nature create this forgetfulness of the living entity's relationship with Krishna, but it is also with the cooperation of this time factor, which is Krishna's energy. Time factor. This time factor, it acts on the living entity, manifesting present, past, and future. Sleep, dreaming, and deep sleep. Because of these factors, the living entity is in forgetfulness. That's why we don't feel that connection. Although we are eternal, we can say that we are eternal, but we don't feel that connection that I had another body before this body. Because forgetfulness. This time factor has created this forgetfulness. And this forgetfulness comes because of these present, past, future, sleep, deep sleep, and dreaming state. So, with this cooperation of this time factor and material nature, because of this forgetfulness, now the living entity can become attracted to the material energy. If this time factor was not acting to create this forgetfulness, then the living entity, even if you don't want to serve Krishna, then he will be in like a limbo. What is happening? What's going to happen to me? I don't know what to do. But Krishna, once in, because he don't want to force the living entity, he creates a facility for the living entity. Now you can go on. You can act independent of me. You don't want to lovingly serve me. That's okay. You can go on. Here's a facility for you to do this. So, in reviving our Krishna consciousness, now we come to this process of Krishna consciousness. We have to take precautions. We have to be careful that we don't try to become overly intelligent. This is materialistic civilization. The present civilization is always thinking themselves more intelligent than the past. Isn't it? Everybody in the present is thinking, I am more intelligent than the past. Just like children is telling the parents that you too old, you don't understand the present day civilization. Scientific people, they're saying, in the past, everybody was primitive. Now we're living in a civilized society. This is over-intelligence. And in the future, the people in the future will think that this civilization you have right now, you have iPhones, you have iPads, you have iDis and iDats and all these things, that will be primitive. So everybody, this is over-intelligence. This is the materialistic concept of life. Everyone is thinking, I am more intelligent than the other. So this over-intelligence, we have to be very careful about it to create a form of a check and balance about it so that we don't try to supersede the predecessors. Rather, the path of mental speculation is a very difficult path. Because the path of mental speculation is 1980. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. It's not this, it's not that. So that is a very troublesome path. Rather, it's a very easy path to simply accept what has been handed down to us. You don't have to. Just like I'm handing you, you're hungry, and I have prepared food for you, and I have put it in a plate, and I have all the facility for you to just sit and eat, then it's an easy process. You don't have to go now and buy vegetables and then go and cook and then go out through all this process to eat. Simple process. So the process of Krishna consciousness has been already churned and we are receiving the nectar. So we don't have to inculcate anything in the process. We simply have to follow the process. Don't try to put anything into the process. Don't think that in the past, the predecessors or previous acharyas, they were primitive. This over-intelligence will prolong your forgetfulness in the process of Krishna consciousness. So we have to accept this process of Krishna consciousness. So another point Prabhupada is making very nicely, he's saying that ordinarily people who may want to say that the process of Krishna consciousness is great austerity. Isn't it great austerity? We have to get up early in the morning. When you're living in the temple prepare meals at a certain time and you have to eat within that time. You can't eat as you like. Maybe when you get a little senior you may be able to get some stash here and there. And you have to follow certain regulations, waking up early in the morning, coming to Mangal Arati, and like that. So that may be considered tapasya, austerity. But Prabhupada is saying, but that tapasya is not as dangerous as material existence. Isn't it? Because in materialistic existence, just like we here in the temple, you wake up early, then it's just a few steps from where you take rest. After getting up, you run and you come to the temple to offer obeisance and sing and chant to the Lord. But in material existence, you may have to wake up early or even earlier, or may not be able to sleep during the night because it may cost you your job. But it may be dangerous to your health. It may be dangerous to get to your job. It may be dangerous in so many ways. Padam padam yadvipadam. In so many ways. But even if in the execution of Krishna consciousness there is some dangerous situation that may take place, then it will become easy because of engaging in Krishna consciousness while such dangerous circumstances take place to remember Krishna. Just like if we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're chanting Japa, so I had to wake up so early in the morning, but I'm trying to chant this Hare Krishna mantra and the stone, the column from this thing fall on my head while I'm chanting. It's a dangerous situation sitting here and the column fall, but I was chanting Hare Krishna. So, there was no danger. The real danger, we sometimes, because we are so absorbed in bodily concept of life, we think real danger is danger that entails this body, harm to this body. This is not the real danger of our existence. All real danger is our forgetfulness of Krishna. Every time you forget Krishna, you're in a very dangerous circumstance. Because it means if you quit your body, at that very moment you have to take another body again because you did not remember Krishna. This is the real danger. So we should try to understand this point. The more we understand that my real dangerous condition of life is my forgetfulness of Krishna, then we will try to be more conscious about what it means to be in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means to be constantly aware of Krishna. And real danger of material existence means when I am forgetful of Krishna. So when we start feeling that at any moment you start feeling that, oh my God, this moment I have been forgetful of Krishna. I was absorbing some materialistic thought. And we start panicking about that. Then we should know that is auspiciousness that is taking place within our life. Auspiciousness. When you start panicking, you start thinking that such a great loss for this moment, I have forgotten Krishna. So, Krishna consciousness means to strive for that position by which we can constantly remember Krishna. That is why we have this responsibility. It says that, like sometimes we have to chant or a japa, and this japa seems to be so burdensome. But it says that this chanting of the names of Krishna, this hearing about the pastimes of Krishna, this is the life and soul of the residents in Vrindavan. But because our consciousness is somehow or the other still dwarfed, it's still not fully situated in Krishna consciousness, we think that this hearing about Krishna, or this sitting down and having to chant about Krishna, is a little burdensome. But no, this we should try to understand. This is the real life of Krishna consciousness. This is where this position of being able to hear and chant about Krishna, this should give us great joy. We should, even if we don't feel that relish to hear and chant about Krishna, we should hanker for it. We should want it. We should desire it. We should be praying for it. When will that day be mine when I'll be able to hear and chant about Krishna in such a way that I can become fully conscious of Krishna? Then, fully conscious of Krishna to render loving service to Krishna. Service that will please Krishna. This is another point Prabhupada elaborated in this point, that this position to want to render loving service to Krishna, this is at the essence of our existence. So, I guess we can stop here. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions or comments? No questions, comments? Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.